Good evening and welcome to The Art Show on 90.3 FM. It's Norma and Maura in the studio tonight, here with you until 8 o'clock. And this week we've got a Fringe Festival special. So we'll be talking about some of the shows that Maura and I have seen this week and also giving you a roundup of some of the topics. So we had Chris Nelson, the artistic director of the festival, on a couple of weeks back, and he gave us a brilliant overview because it really is quite something, isn't it, Maura, as an international theatre and performance festival?
Norma, it's good
evening, everybody out there. It's a fringe fortnight. It's 16 days and nights of all genres of artistic performance. Really, it really is something for all the senses, and it's a really good modern look and take at the world today. There's everything there for. There's something there for everybody, and of course we made our own choices and we went along to some of the performances to review them for our listeners. I mean, there's thrilling performances, provocative performances, performances that really will strike a chord with you and I suppose really, I suppose your conscience sometimes is provoked. I mean, there's entertainment there. There's things that are wild and pure there. What they say is that some of the artists are messers, some of the artists are leaders, there's dreamers and there's deep thinkers. And of course, you know, it's a festival because there's also a fringe club, and that's at the Wigwam, so you can go and chill out after you see a performance and hang out with other artists.
And on Sunday night they're going to have a closing party at that venue as well, so we've got to make sure that we're there for that. So.
Yeah, and the Fringe Lab is there as well, of course, to support all the artists that are performing in this 16-day festival. But we're only halfway through, Norma, because this is still ongoing until next Sunday.
Absolutely.
The 24th. This is going to shake up your September. So if you haven't already seen something, get out and see something.
Absolutely. And you were talking there about some of the different things that the Fringe has done, and one of which is that it's got 49 world premieres. And one of those was a play that I saw called Shitstorm. And that was actually also a first collaboration for the festival with the Abbey Theatre, which is really fantastic. So the play was on at the Peacock Stage, which is their downstairs venue, and it's written by Simon Doyle and Maeve Stone, and this is really fantastic. So Shakespeare never goes out of date, let's face it, so because, you know, still he's relevant to audiences. So this play is it's an Irish take on The Tempest, which was Shakespeare's last play, and it's set, it doesn't specify where in the text, but it's meant to be set on one of the Blasket Islands, which is one of the islands in West Kerry. And this is like a punk play. So in the play, if you're familiar with it, Prospero is the main character, and the play opens with a terrible storm and all our characters are washed up onto an island. And the play is really about how Prospero tries to get back his power. And in this version of the play, the daughter Miranda is actually the central character. So what the playwright has done is to take one of the more peripheral characters, the female character, and actually to put her front and centre and to say actually she's going to be the main character of the play. We still have Prospero in there, we also have the characters of Ariel and of Caliban, but they are kind of, one of them is quite a camp assistant to the two, and Ariel also has magical powers, as does Prospero. So the play opens with Miranda, who's kind of a punk teenager. She's got a lot of angst and she's kind of practicing her punk music. And so the whole play is quite a simple setup, but really effective lighting and staging. And it's these punk songs punctuating the narrative, which is the irascible Prospero, her father, who's left the island. And there's a lot of fun with it as well. He talks about things like mammals with notions as a description of what we are as human beings. And in one kind of memorable scene for me, the father and daughter have an argument, but it's essentially an A to Z of Shakespearean insults, where they go through from A to Z of calling each other different things, like a feckless flibbity gibbet, I've written down here. So I really enjoyed it, and I hope to see the Abbey next year again. Involved with the Fringe. It was wonderful to have them as part of the programme. So,
wonderful.
Absolutely, and that was the first play that I had a look at. And so I think we were going to talk about one of the plays that what was the first play that you saw, Maura?
The first one that I saw was actually in Smock Alley Theatre in the black box there, and it was called From All Sides. Bitter Like a Lemon being the title. And basically what it's about is it's about modern day relationships, but I suppose about the savagery and the beauty of modern relationships. It's by playwright Lee Coffrey, and it investigates the influence that gender can have on our perception and judgment in these couplings. It's two couples. The names are Jane and Dom is one couple, and Mel and Kevin. They're two very different types of couples. And basically they're dealing with the issues of drink and the issues of jealousy. And I really liked it insofar as from that gender neutral point of view. In one of the episodes, it had the woman having the drinking problem, and then it switches over to the man having the drinking problem, and both of them dealing with that issue. In very similar, I mean, it really showed gender to be just nothing different from men and women in these scenarios. And then halfway through the play, we were asked to vote who would go forward, what coupling we wanted to actually. Yeah, it was really interesting.
So we had decided at the end of the play.
The audience, we were given a little card on the way in, and blue was on one side and red was on the other. And that was to show which coupling we wanted. So we could pick the male and female of our choice.
And did you get the one you wanted?
I did, actually. It was interesting. The coupling was completely different to the way it started. They actually staggered. They took one of the females from the first coupling and coupled her with the male from the other coupling. So it was intriguing. And it was... Yeah, it was young, it was energetic, it was emotional, I have to say, you know, at times it was vicious, and it did explore that area of abuse that can be very subtle, verbal abuse in a relationship. And I suppose relationships are an amazing thing, but you know, there is a compromise and people do need to deal with issues in relationships. So I really liked it from that point of view, because I don't know, I think it's something that we could all relate to.
Sure.
You know, so if people haven't seen it, there is still on the programme, so there's still opportunities to see that one.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Now, you went ahead. Your second review was what did you go and see, Norma?
Well, this was something quite spectacular, actually, I have to say, because it was, I mean, one of the things you notice about a lot of shows at Fringe Theatre is, and actually we'll be talking in the second half of the show about Birthed, which was a one-woman show with one woman at a microphone. And obviously, in the Fringe, some of these shows are low budget and it's all about the innovation. This show was not that type of show. This was a show that went to town on spectacle. So this was Neon Western, which was first performed as part of the Cork Midsummer Festival. And in this show... It's what you might call immersive theatre. So the show, and it was actually raining on the night that I went to see it, all the audience start outside the Samuel Beckett Theatre in the rain.
Wow.
And right. So you see two of the characters running down the fire escape outside the building, and they come through the crowd and there's sound effects and they're saying stuff, and you follow them into the theatre, which is a rave / Wow. nightclub. So it basically starts outside and you're led into the performance. And it's a standing performance, so they very much go with the fact that it's a nightclub. You are standing for the whole show, and the performance happens in different spaces around you, from balconies high up, from different, like there's a boxing ring set up at one side of the stage, and the whole show is emceed by the MC of the nightclub, the Soiled Dove, and that happens from the front of the room. So it's incredible. Things are happening all around you. There's club lights, there's neon paint, There's people moving all around you. There's things happening right up in your face, suddenly behind you. There's water pouring from the ceiling at one point. And also drinks, because the show is sponsored by Smirnoff. Halfway through, they serve cocktails to everybody in the audience. So it's visceral and it's in your face. And it's fantastic theatre. It's a theatre company called Conflicted Theatre. And I guess it was a morality tale. A lot of the characters are outsiders. It's kind of set in a world, seedy kind of underworld of prostitution and drugs. And by the end of the show, it's kind of somebody's got their comeuppance. So, you know, it was really such a... And I think there's another show on later this weekend on Saturday, which sounds... I'm going to have to look that one up, which sounds like it's got a very kind of similar vibe where things are happening from all sides. But I think you went to see an interactive show, which we'll talk about a bit later as well. But yeah, a lot of shows at this festival. Oh yeah, the one that I'm thinking of is Requiem for the Truth. So I definitely want to check that out. So yeah, so just some fantastical theatrical experiences.
Wow.
And so the next show that you saw, what was that one, Maura?
Oh, this is a great title. I suppose the title intrigued me more than anything. It's called, it was at the new theatre there in Temple Bar, and it was called What Good Is Looking Well When You're Rotten on the Inside?
Good question.
And it was a question. By Emma O'Grady Productions. Now, Emma O'Grady is a 32-year-old woman, and basically she has taken on the persona of her grandfather. Her grandfather's Paddy O'Grady. And basically, 1 month before Paddy died, he was a retired civil servant and a quiet man, for want of a better word. He had the certain urge to talk. And now we're going back to the 60s, okay? We're going back to...
And this is a true story.
Oh, absolutely true story. And I think it's something that I loved, because I think we can all resonate with this, that, you know, to take down somebody's memories and story. And that's exactly what Emma did with her grandfather before he died. He put down all his stories. He was also a great writer. He worked in the civil service, but he was a very artistic person. And he actually spoke into 15 tapes, 15 hours.
Wow.
Of stories. Like, we're talking about him talking about, like, life and religion, how he met his wife in 1917, how he had to then cop himself on, for want of a better word, and make a decision about how to make a living, how he chose his career, because he was looking at different careers like plumbing and all different types of things, right through to working in the civil service, hanging out in Dublin, and the usual place to go drinking. And then right up until his retirement, and looking back at his own, I suppose, his own parents as well. But what was interesting, Emma dressed up in the grandfather's clothes. So she's on stage with all his stuff. She's smoking a pipe. She smokes a pipe on stage. She wears his old suit. She takes on his persona. She looks like a man on stage. At times she speaks, and then at other times you'll hear his voice, real voice, through these tapes when she presses the tape recorder on. Like, the stage is an old stage with a big comfy chair, just like he would have had. And she actually sings. And we'll hear us, we maybe might get a chance to play one of the songs. But she actually sings on the stage as well, which is wonderful.
Wow. And actually, speaking of that, so one of the shows that I saw a couple of nights ago, have you been to the theatre at Bewley's Cafe at the Power Court?
I haven't been into that one, but I've been to the one on Grafton Street, the original. But
yeah.
That's undergoing reconstruction now.
It's a great little space, actually, right at the back of the shopping centre. And so that is the great thing about Fringe as well, that you can have shows that play for like 50, 60 people. It doesn't all have to be great big productions. And Walk For Me, so this was a one-woman show by Kate Stanley Brennan. And she's a woman that I can only describe as fierce. She's actually featured on some of the programmes for The Fringe with two really long plaits and big hoop earrings. She's a fabulous creature. And the show is set in the kind of club land of New York, which is what she talks about in the show. And it's, I guess, it's a spoken word show. A lot of it is in rhyme, but she makes it very conversational, and the rhyme is there, but actually she's talking us through kind of very everyday subjects. And actually, I have to say, I didn't realise how hard hitting the play was going to be, because actually, as it's billed, it kind of says it's, what is it? Expect sex, dex, and original songs by Miss Kate Mathman and Bobo Funk. And it certainly does that, because throughout the show, there are original songs that she performs, and the whole show has actually got this brilliant DJ called Handsome Paddy, who's to the left of the stage, and he brings up different sounds and kind of scratch mixes in different accompanying things to really just set as a backdrop to some of the things that she's saying, which works absolutely brilliantly. And there's songs in there as well by artists called Mathman and Bobo Funk, who are brilliant Dublin beat musicians, and Mathman is actually doing some of the music on Dublin Old School. So that was brilliant, but there was dark to it. There was some of her story. And so what else did you see, Maura?
Well, different. I mean, completely different to that, Norma. I went to see Deadline by Conor O'Toole. Hilarious. This is amazing. He's a comedian. And basically, what Conor does, he calls it the Office of the Dublin Correspondent, you know, this newspaper that we're supposed to produce under a deadline. But it's basically his flat on in Mountjoy Square. And we all get in there. It's only a small group of us, very intimate, very interactive. And our job is to come up with within an hour, 60 minutes, to come up with an edition of the Dublin Correspondence, which I'm holding up for anybody that's watching us in webcam. I'm holding up a copy of it, and all of us in there that night, we've all produced, either we've helped with the crossword in this correspondent, I did a theatre review, interestingly enough. One gentleman, his picture is there, he got in trouble with the Gardaí. We had to come up with things that we'd seen or done in the last 24-48 hours. It was fascinating. I loved it. I suppose it really kind of shows you what modern media is like, and we know about that, you know, don't we, really, Norma, that you have to get things out in time to a tight deadline, and there can be a lot of stress and excitement and raised voices, but it's such a reward when you produce something. And we all got a little copy of our Dublin Correspondent to take home with us, so I loved it. It's on right through until Sunday. I highly recommend it.
I'm definitely going to go and check that out.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Actually, have you ever seen the film Network, which is set in a television station? I remember reading an interview with the writer of that show, and he said he went to spend time somewhere at one of these stations to see how it worked, and he said he was amazed that people ran. He was like, oh my god, they run. He had no idea that it was that much. People were running at work. He couldn't believe it. But people regularly run in radio stations and newspapers.
Yes.
So the last show that I saw as well was, I also loved, so I'm glad that we finished on two corkers. This is actually one of the world premieres that The Fringe was doing, and it's by an American performer called Shanoa Allen. He's actually one half of, do you know the sketch group Pajama Men? You should check them out if you don't know them. Absolutely brilliant double act, who've been performing for a number of years now around the world, very acclaimed. And this is one half of Pajama Men and Shanoa Allen's debut play, which I believe previewed at the Soho Theatre in London last week, and it's showing here until the end of the festival. And it's directed by an Irish director called Catriona McLaughlin, who's actually also an associate of the Abbey Theatre. And this, again, I was talking earlier about how sometimes theatre is very pared down. This play also had a musician at the side of the stage who was using a guitar and a boran and different instruments to make sounds to accompany the play. But basically, the guy's only got a few chairs, and there's many characters in the play, but he's playing all of them. So he just suddenly sits on a different chair or turns a different way, and he is just able to just go switch from character to character. So the show is basically set in a kind of dropout character's high school. His name's Brock. So it starts out that we're back in his old high school. He's there for a night class to learn how to be a trucker. And all the other people in the class, some great redneck characters. Everett, he plays Dolores, a rather languorous woman. And he just plays all of these different characters. And he's there and he's learning how to truck. And the narrative kind of weaves through these different characters and his journey, which becomes darker and darker as it unfurls. It's really surprising the twists and turns that it takes. And then a character called Armando comes in, who is a Mexican truck driver, to tell them how it was. And there's songs and there's, you know, the language in it's incredible. I just wrote down at one point, he's talking about Armando's truck and he talks about silver teeth in a rattlesnake's dream. And I just love the language that he's using. And so it's absolutely fantastic. So you've got to go and see this show. And just his talent is mind-blowing. I mean, it's just sublime. And, you know, people at the end just would not stop applauding.
That sounds amazing. I went to, just last night, I went to see Science Idiot by Ruth Hunter. Amazing. It just kicked off last night. So this is in the second half of the Fringe Festival. So right up until Saturday night, 23rd. Amazing. A Science Idiot. It is, has nothing to do with science, but yet it uses all the language of science. I mean, I got to chat to Ruth afterwards. She says that she studied English and philosophy in college and she knows nothing about science. It was very, very evident. She had a very inaccurate take on science altogether, which was completely so funny. It was bawdy. It was provocative. She is a millennial. And she, of course, brought up the themes of gender and gender wars, people going around trying to discover each other's identity. And she talked about these four questions that we're all asked. One is, what, you know, when we first meet someone, we say, what are you? And who do you like to sleep with, for want of a, I don't want to use any naughty words.
I have never asked anyone that question.
Where are you from? What do you do? And then once you get over that kind of, you know, she called it a bold word, but once you get over that kind of nonsense, then you get into the deeper person, then you get into the reality of a person. So of course we couldn't get through a Science Idiot of bringing up Freud and physics and quantum physics and psychoanalysis and the universe and reality, and you know, and there was a lot of talk about sex and fantasy and again, women and birth and ovulation, and of course we'll be talking a little bit more about that in the end, but her take on it was funny. It really was. It was hilarious at times. And I mean, this is a very, very interesting one. This was first runner up in Edinburgh's So You Think You're Funny in 2016. So, you know, she's one to watch.
Fantastic. And as you mentioned there, we're going to be talking after a short break to some promos. We're yes. going to be talking about a show that we both went to see, a play called Birthed, and a performance and installation called Not at Home, which were absolutely fascinating. Yes. And we'll be talking a bit more about those. We'll be back in a moment.
Goodbye. So isn't that just very relaxing? Maybe there's a lot of lyrical food for thought in that one. But the reason we played that, Norma, is because Emma O'Grady, from that play I mentioned and earlier that I reviewed, What Good Is Looking Well When You're Rotten on the Inside, she actually sang that on the stage.
Wow.
And it's by Janicene.
Okay. It's pretty much going to like hit you in the gut there. That's a kind of, that's a sad song.
It is a sad song. It's a trip down memory lane for me. It's a bit of a, yeah, so I was taken. Yeah, but it was from the actual Fringe Festival, so.
Wonderful. So we're going to talk about two of the shows that we saw now. So we mentioned these earlier. So one of the shows was a play, a one-woman play called Birthed, and the other was a performance and installation called Not at Home. And the reason we decided to do a little extended slot on this, Maura, isn't it? Because we just thought, I mean, actually, I interviewed Chris Nelson a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about how when he's commissioning work, and you mentioned at the top of the show about challenging and being provoking, and these shows really kind of punched us in the gut, didn't they? And they were talking about things, yes. And they really hit the zeitgeist of a lot of things going on at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, I suppose, what you would call, social theory, social theatre in many respects. I know you went to see Birth. Well, we both went to see it, and I know that, that was really moving, wasn't it?
It was. And so the show, we should just say, this was part of actually quite an important international project. It was set up by the Royal Exchange Manchester. They commissioned 7 writers from all over the world to look at the political and social pressures that surround the moment of birth, which has been identified as one of the moments that actually has the greatest inequality. So these issues for women in terms of childbirth, there's a lot of inequality there. So they commissioned plays from Brazil, China, Kenya, India, Syria, the USA and the UK, looking at, and really the idea was that they would be tools of education and debate. And actually I think they've got a website where they're making available the plays for any schools or educational establishments that want to perform those. And this play that we saw was by Stacey Gregg. It was the UK, yes. Play. She's a writer from Belfast, and the play won a Fringe First in Edinburgh last year, and so this was its debut in Ireland, and yes. And we really enjoyed it, didn't we, Maura?
We really did, because it was a story about two journeys, two different women, Holly and Una, who were really looking at different decisions around the whole area of birth. One looking at the area of IVF, really wanting that child, and looking at all the options around, really having that baby against the odds. And then the other lady, Una,
is going for termination.
She is. It's an unplanned pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so wonderful to see the support that they got from their families, and both the mothers in particular of both the Holly and Una. It's so sweet. Yeah. It's so endearing.
And actually, I should say, because even though this was a female playwright and maybe quite a female in inverted commas subject, there were a lot of guys in the audience actually as well. It was quite a mixed crowd.
It was great. And I all the way through that, and of course I went to see the installation then that was at the National College of Art and Design.
I know, I was with you.
Yeah, I know. We were both wandering around, weren't we? That was incredible as well.
It was.
Yeah, that was incredible.
So tell us what that was.
Yeah, now it's called Not at Home, Ireland. Okay, it's created by Grace Dias from Theatre Club and Emma Fraser from Nine Crows, directed by Barry John O'Connor. Now, it is an installation where there's video, sound and performance. It was gripping, to say the least. And it takes you right through the journey. I suppose, it was set up in April 2016, and they've been collecting anonymous testimonies from women online at notathomeireland.com, and of the women's experiences of travelling abroad for a termination.
To the UK.
To the United Kingdom. This was in particular looking at Merseyside and Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was, Norma, was that it took you right through, it kind of simulated what it would be like when you actually leave Ireland to go on that journey.
Well, I think one thing though that's important to say about this piece, it's grounded in documentary. So it is, they describe it as a witnessing space. There are no arguments, no shouting, no, this is not a sermon. It's simply a document. It's simply representation.
Yeah.
So you were talking there about the taxi outside. And so people sit into this cab and they listen through the radio system to the testimonies of Liverpool cab drivers who've driven these women.
Yes.
So there's no taking sides on any of the thing. It's just, it's these kind of Liverpool Scouser cabbies, like just telling it as it is.
Absolutely.
Who've been doing this for 20, 30 years. There was one woman actually, but otherwise all the other taxi drivers were male.
Mm-hmm.
And they were simply talking about the fact that And actually, so we were, when we went to see Birthed, actually, there, because it's an educational project, there was a handout at the end of that. And they asked questions such as, did you learn anything in this show that you didn't know? And yep. we both, when we were discussing this, said we learned a load of things in both of these that we didn't know. And one of them... Actually, so for example, with the Liverpool taxi drivers, they were saying when Irish women get off flights on a Sunday, they know where they're going to be taking them.
Yeah.
Because they always come on a Sunday because they go over the weekend.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I mean, and the cab, the black cab, was just part of it, Norma. Then you walked into the actual space, and you were kind of walked into a reception, and you could see, like, it was set up to kind of really depict what it was like for the women who went to this particular clinic in Liverpool. There was a reception area with beautiful lavender. And there was an information, there was a lot of information given to the actual person there. Then there was a voice of a therapist, Ursula Brown, and a shamanic healer, and she would help you prepare for the journey. So there was a little room where you could go, and that was really quite moving. Then you moved into a waiting room.
So that was based, though, actually on real questions that they,
yes.
that they would ask.
Oh,
you.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's things like, does anybody know that you're pregnant? Was the sex consensual?
Yes.
So and actually all of the things that they have to go through with you. So they played that on loop, and they took what was a genuine experience, but they turned it in, as you described, more of a sort of an art installation.
Yeah, they did, Norma. And I mean,
and the then the main room, tell us about that with the different women.
Yeah, I mean, the waiting room was quite interesting. There was a table, like any table in a waiting room, with magazines, like glossy magazines of like Jennifer Anderson, and you know, just like you would see in any waiting room, and information.
Actually, just to say that on Jennifer Aniston, actually, because that ties
yes.
back to the play Birthed, because yeah. one of the things that is hit upon actually in that play. The play, and by the way, we should say that the play does deal with serious subject, but it's actually extremely funny. Some of the observations about being a woman and just life in general, like one of them we were laughing about afterwards. It said, I'm good at being single, I think, but I don't want to get too good.
I love that.
But she's talking about Jennifer Aniston
yes.
and how that Jennifer Aniston is kind of, I don't know, pilloried for being
yeah.
a childless woman.
Yes, child free.
And this can be a thing in society that it's like, you know.
Yeah. I think what was very interesting for me as well was the different sounds in there. The radio was on and it was quite upbeat, and it was really, I suppose, contrasting how women in the UK are really emotionally differently charged than Irish women having to come across on a boat or on a plane to have this procedure done. It was quite stark.
And so what they have is they have a book where they've printed out, and it's just verbatim, word for word, what these women went through. And I suppose what was surprising to me is just the diversity of women. There's 17-year-olds who were maybe having sex for the first time. There were women in relationships who'd been told by their GP to take a break from the pill because it was too bad for their body, and at that exact moment they became pregnant. And actually a great number were married women who had several children already and just didn't feel they could have any more.
Yeah, later in life, yeah.
So that was married women with children were
yes.
actually the majority of the stories, which actually surprised me. I wasn't aware that that was the case. And I think one thing to say, Maura, and just to ask you this, because some people might think, oh, is showcasing all these stories in any way, you know, are they taking a view on anything that surrounds this debate?
No.
But they're not doing
no.
that. They're just taking the view that it's a matter of fact
yeah.
that 70 women a day go and do this.
Yeah, I mean, what the whole idea of this, Norm, is that it's about solidarity, visibility and love.
Mm-hmm.
And sharing, kind of bringing the secret out and sharing it. In that room, so in the waiting room, is that they've set it up that the girls are in their gowns, like they're ready for the procedure, and they have these wheelies, little wheelie things that they, and then when they hear the sound to go through for a treatment.
Yeah, they're Ryanair carry-on luggage.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, then and there's performances, so there's readings from the actual I suppose the stories as well, and then they move from that room into a recovery room. And the recovery room was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. The lighting was very dim. There was beautiful smell of candles burning. It was so peaceful. And people there were asked to, if they wanted to share their own experiences of, I suppose, their own journey. But also, I suppose, the installation itself, what it meant to them. And like that, there was men and women sharing. Yeah. It was very moving.
Actually, I have to say one thing. When I was outside, I noticed a lot of people were obviously extremely moved by this. And one part of the installation, because some of these stories were being projected out onto the street via a speaker. And so, actually, I noticed there were like old men in the pubs across the road yes. having their cigarette, but they kept having cigarette after cigarette because they were so intrigued
yes.
to listen to what was going on.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
And people were really yeah. moved by this.
Yes.
And I think what they're doing, they're continuing this project. It was actually, I think, first promoted by Una Mullally in The Times. And if anybody does want to anonymously share their story to add to what is a document as well as an art project, a document of women, if you want to email them, the email is notathomeireland@gmail.com. That's notathomeireland@gmail.com. Yes. And really, this is, as we say, it's about education and it's about knowledge. Nobody's taking a view on any of the issues surrounding this. It's just actually saying to people, this is going on. We actually just need to understand what it is. Mm-hmm. And this project is just taking something that's been a little bit in shadow and just bringing it and saying, let's just talk about what's going on here. So thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
The Art Show will be back next Tuesday from 7 to 8 with Robbie and Rebecca.
Yes.
Until then, I've been Norma.
And I've been Maura.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.